Dr. Mengele's decision to liquidate C Camp had been carried out. Every evening, 50 trucks brought the victims, 4,000 at a time, to the crematoriums. A horrible sight. This caravan of trucks, their headlights stabbing the darkness, each bearing a human cargo of 80 women who either filled the air with their screams or sat mute, paralyzed with fear. In slow succession, the trucks rolled up and dumped the women who had been stripped of their clothes at the top of the stairway leading down into the gas chamber. From there, they were quickly pushed below. They all knew where they were going, but the rigors of their 4 months' captivity, the corporal punishment they had been made to endure, and the disintegration of their nervous systems had reduced them to such a point that they were no longer capable of putting up any resistance, or even of feeling pain. They were herded passively into the gas chambers. Weary of being hunted and persecuted, of living in constant fear, they dumbly awaited the hand of the sure physician, death. For them, life had lost all meaning and purpose. To prolong it would merely have prolonged their suffering. And what a long road they had traveled in coming here. How filled with unimaginable sorrow each lap of that journey. First, their warm, comfortable homes had been invaded and pillaged. Then, together with their husbands, children, and parents, they had been taken to the brick kilns on the far edge of town, where for weeks they had been made to live and sleep in the swamps born of the spring rains. These were the ghettos from which in small groups they had been taken every day to the specially designed torture chambers, outfitted with all the latest instruments conducive to making people talk. There they had been questioned until, half dead with pain, they had confessed either the hiding place of their valuables or the name of the person to whom they had confided them. Many had died from these interrogations. Those who survived had been almost relieved to find themselves being loaded into boxcars, 80 or 90 to a car. For it had meant that they were leaving the torture chambers far behind, or so they had thought. And my interjection. So we see the careful planning behind these lies. They are, after all, the wise, those who Plato sanctions as his tribe. The very layers of duplicity, I'm sure they think speaks to their superiority, quote unquote, the opacity of their cold, brutal reasoning. Each step, they pride themselves, planned in depth. So what should this tell us beyond our need to have a strategy, which we lock eyes on fixedly and move towards systematically? It tells us that calamity will be stepped methodically before us, will be calculated and modulated to control us step by step. And they trust that at least if we have not readied ourselves for this, that our good natures and our inventiveness will concoct many reasonable explanations that don't mean that the worst possibility is in fact upon us, that we are being herded once again to a devastating end. Recall how quickly it happened in Europe 6 years. And our solidarity had been successfully decimated. People herded into separate nation boxes. Do you think that was the end of it? You think they're done? No, because there's always miscegenation, right? There's always, just like Plato said, that problem of quote unquote imperialism, his definition, meaning those dangerous thoughts for power keep infecting the herd. They will never be done until we are thoroughly conquered to their satisfaction. And since that ain't gonna happen, this is an ongoing nightmare until we decide to work together globally, to use these tools the ancestors bestowed upon us, to do with them what they're meant to help us get free of this insanity. So you see what deciding at long last to be true to our bodies means. It means everything. 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 Literally. Everything. So, until next week, peace.